I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And at the end of the day, our country is getting great results. I, as a black American, I'm excited about the results that the President Trump has given to us. And my whole theme, very simply, any friend of the black community is a friend of mine.
Burgess Owens there talking about the president and his ability to have helped the black community. But you can think about lots of other communities that have seen a benefit from the Trump economy.
And the unemployment rate today has dropped to a near 50-year low. The unemployment rate for women is at a 65-year low. And we've seen the lowest unemployment ever recorded for African Americans and Hispanic Americans. The American dream is working again for every American.
For every American. I think that's such a big deal to be able to say all of those different numbers. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday to you. No Rob Kramer today. Really bummed about that, but he had to do like real work or something like that.
Boo.
So yeah, I know.
This is real work.
Is it?
Oh yeah. Yesterday.
Does this feel like
sometime
work to
you? During this show, I hurt my arm and shoulder real bad, and it's my eating arm.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You're gonna be.
I'm gonna starve to death. Is what I'm gonna do.
Because you are always eating. That is for sure. Gabe, what do you think about the president's new initiative? Ryan, you talked about it a little bit earlier in the show with your highlight story, but
I think I heard about that.
There's a focus from this administration, from the RNC, to make sure that they become more inclusive than maybe they were in the past. Do you feel like this, the 2020 version of the Republican Party, is trying more, or is it just being heard more than it usually is, or both?
They're probably trying more. I think they're a lot more outspoken about it. I'll say that. There's always been this, whether it's a perception or a reality, I can only sort of tell. The Republican Party has always had a bad rap when it comes to minority outreach. So anything that works towards changing that is a good thing for the Republican Party.
I feel like it's really hard to try to figure out politically how you should reach out to a specific demographic without being like ridiculously pandering.
Yeah, and condescending. Yeah.
So, I mean, what has been missing to be able to reach, you know, these statistical numbers to make sure that the black community knows it, you know, for women to understand how I just feel like the Republican conservative way of doing things isn't to look at you like you're a demographic. That's the Democratic playbook. So how do you go into a specific demographic like that and try to reach if what was it like 7% of the black vote went to Republicans or
something like 7 or 8, yeah,
to make it 10 or 12.
Right.
How do you do that?
And that's a good question. I'd probably be making some really outrageous consulting fees if I knew that specifically. But
something to consider.
Yeah, look at that. But I think in large part, as best as I can tell, the main way to do this type of outreach is really to focus on how conservative policies, conservative you know, ways of doing things can benefit the community that they're speaking to specifically. Now, I think because conservatives tend not to look at people by demographics, we usually speak in terms of, well, this is good for America. This is good for America. And I think for minority groups, because they have traditionally, you know, in the past at least, been otherized to some extent, they're so used to thinking of themselves as sort of a microcosm that, you know, it's like, well, what does that mean to me? Because things that were good for America or touted as good for America, at least in the past, weren't necessarily good for the minority group. So there's a mentality, I think, that has persisted where you want to identify specifically. It's like, okay, I get that you think this is going to be good for America, but tell me how it's going to affect my community and my neighbors.
Yeah, I think it's a very hard thing to do, to be true to the idea of we don't want to play identity politics.
Right.
You know, if you look at the Democratic playbook, you can flip to the chapter that's about black people, or you can flip to the chapter that's about Latina people, or you can flip to the woman chapter or the elderly, and you can find out everything that they're going to do to talk to you about how victimized you are going to be by the Republican Party, and then why electing the Democrats to come in and expand government so that they can provide you everything that you need
will save you.
Yes, and there's nowhere in that playbook where it suggests that maybe you're the answer to your problems, and maybe the problem exists the way it exists is because the government has instituted a way to ensure that you always need a savior. And the only savior that's ever going to come to show up and knock on your door and hand you something is the government.
Right. And I think that's part of the messaging, too, is a big deal, because in the past, the you know, Republican line has basically been, well, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that, you know, which it is true, but it doesn't really play well in Peoria, as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead, it's if you couch it as you're not a victim, you are empowered. Here's how you are empowered, or here's how I believe you can make it in America, and here's how I'm going to clear the path for you to do so, then that changes the conversation.
Yeah.
So I think that is one of the things that I think the messaging is getting a bit better now. And, you know, with people like different Owens, Candace Owens out there, now sort of pushing the envelope on the way to do
she
the
She started
outreach.
The Kanye thing.
Yeah, she sure did.
He tweeted, I like the way she thinks.
Yeah.
And then it's
and
history.
Then Twitter blew up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to play Andrew Yang here talking about Elizabeth Warren.
The fact is, the burden has to be on our government to demonstrate to the American people that any Medicare plan or public plan is a better alternative to the existing insurance programs. And if we can demonstrate that, then people will vote with their dollars and with their feet, and we can squeeze out private insurers over time. But if we can't demonstrate that, then American consumers will make the choices that are best for them and their families. And unlike Elizabeth Warren, I do not believe that every American hates their insurance company. I think that there are some Americans who actually are quite attached and happy with their coverage.
Elizabeth Warren is getting a little bit of the front of the pack treatment, attacked from one place to the other. And now we find out today that Michael Bloomberg is considering entering the race. I don't think it's official quite yet, but what do we know about his candidacy?
Well, he's going to run on the Democratic side, so he's not going to be an independent right out of the gate, which some speculated that he might be. So he may not play spoiler in the way that they thought. But as Ed Henry was saying, if he enters, he will immediately be considered a moderate on the stage. So that could challenge Biden. And then you'd set up a Biden-Bloomberg sort of wing of the Democratic Party, and then a Warren-Sanders wing. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. He's definitely thrown his hat into the ring because you do have to, if you're going to be on the ballot in Alabama, the deadline is, let's see, this Friday. So Alabama and Arkansas are coming up this month. Those two states, not usually important to Democrats, so you still could see people getting in after that. But Illinois, oddly, is the first really blue state that is coming up, and that's December 2nd. And so if you're going to see anybody get in this race, you almost guarantee that they're going to get in by the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do you think a moderate, like, is he a moderate? I mean,
they say.
What is a moderate on the Democratic Party anymore? I mean, when you consider how far left.
I think the only difference is whether or not you support Medicare for All. That's the only difference. It's like, okay, I want Obamacare to take over, you know, but I don't want to destroy entirely the private sector. I mean, I think that's really the difference. That's the only difference I've identified.
Do you pay attention to like health insurance? Like, is that something that you are well versed in at all?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to enroll every year in a new program.
We just did
and
that.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
Yep. Open enrollment begins now.
Nobody is nearly as excited about that as HR.
Not at all.
And I get it. I understand. You got to do what you do. You got to hand out Band-Aids and toothbrushes and stuff. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I put my Band-Aid thing in my purse.
Mm-hmm.
But like open enrollment, It's made to be out like it's a party. You know
it's
what I'm saying?
It's a pain in the butt.
It's open and rolling time!
Yeah, yay!
And you're like, oh, crap.
No. And then, now I got to read all the new things.
What's the deadline that I have to do this?
Which and costs are going up?
Yeah.
Right.
And you're making decisions. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're like...
That's the thing that bugs me.
Gosh.
I couldn't possibly read enough or understand enough to make a truly informed decision. So I make a partially informed decision and hope for the best for the next year.
Yeah.
That's really how it goes. I think it's pretty much how it is for everybody.
Yes.
And I'm not a dumb guy. So, you know, I imagine it's kind of that way for everybody.
I just think like you're going through it and you're like, well, geez, if I die this next year, I guess Jared's going to have to probably pay off the house if he wants to be able to live off of one income and pay and raise three kids still. And so I guess you need this much life insurance. And I've got life insurance other places. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I told Jared like how much life insurance I was getting. And I'm like, don't get any ideas, dude. Like, this is not good.
And don't think about it.
For a second, you're like, okay. I could be without a mortgage. And it's just...
Yeah, it's a weird time of year that once every 12 months, you have to sit down and say, am I going to die this year? And if so, what's that look like for everyone else? Mm. It's kind of depressing.
It is. Yeah. It's very depressing.
But it forces you to think about, well, I guess stuff that you should think about.
Yeah, it's adulting things. But,
yeah.
But I think overall with the whole healthcare system thing, that my main problem is that I can definitely identify the kind of oppressive regulatory system that it lives on top of the current healthcare system. And I think that if we could free it up, if we could, you know, make it more market driven, get people skin in the game, that, you know, it would actually change the way things are done, and that, you know, prices would drop. Things would become a little bit more universal simply because the prices would put more people into the realm of possibility of buying insurance. And things
well,
like,
you know,
so, you know.
I liken the like Trump orange man bad, kind of the Republican version of that is like Obamacare bad. But what next? Like, let's not pretend that going into 2010 that healthcare was like sailing along just fine for everybody, and
right.
that our system was perfectly fine. Everybody in Congress knew that something needed to be done.
Yeah.
Which is why I was so emphatic about the 2016 election, like saying, listen, put a plan out there that we can understand. They did that with tax reform.
Yeah.
They said, here's a postcard, and this is how you're going to do your taxes, which I am not doing my taxes on a postcard. But they put something out there.
Yeah.
It's like the messaging behind how do you fix healthcare in a conservative way?
Yeah.
Where you also, I do believe, we have an obligation to take care of those among us who cannot take care of themselves.
True.
How do you define that? We could all sit down and fight about it.
Yep.
But what is the solution? It can't just be Obamacare bad.
Yeah.
There has to be a conversation after that, and I am not smart enough to have the answer.
I think on some level there was. I remember reading about a bunch of sort of different bills that were kind of on the floor but weren't being taken up during the Obama years to like open up markets across state lines, things like that, making healthcare plans, being able to travel with workers rather than be exclusive to the job that you have. You know, there were a few sort of market-based reforms that they were looking at, but overall the idea was to do it gradually. And the thing is, because of that, because it's not just gigantic program that you can roll out and put a big price tag on and say, here's how it's going, you know, like Bernie Sanders, like everybody's going to be covered and you're not going to have to pay for healthcare anymore.
Yeah. No kidding. I like it. You're it's
free.
Good.
Free. Free.
It's free.
Free and free and free.
Yeah.
Free and free and free.
Why are you so shocked by this?
Healthcare is a human right.
Exactly. Do you practice Bernie Sanders?
I hear him.
Yeah,
I hear him in my head.
You do well. You and Tony could be Bernie versus Bernie and fight each other.
Battle of the Bernies.
Yeah,
or,
no kidding.
Or even better, we can. You know those two Muppets?
Yes.
Yes.
Joe like, Biden and Bernie Sanders. Yeah, I know
maybe
them.
Maybe we could do like a bad lip reading dub over.
That'd be great.
Perfect.
Write it,
Ryan.
I gotta say, Fox News was doing a package earlier about whether or not it's too early for Christmas or whatever, and the two things they had up there were fa la 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 nah and ho and ho ho no. I'm like, crap, why didn't I think of that?
You're getting real creative.
I could have come up with that myself. Fa la 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 nah.
Nah.
All right, bah humbug, get out of town. President Trump is supposed to be speaking in an event. We're going to monitor that. And, like, I'm going to say, see if he says anything important. That's really insulting to the President of the United States. We'll see if he makes any news. And when we come back, more with Gabe Pfeiffer and Ryan and Katie. And Tony Colombo is going to join us here before the hour is out for an Annie, Are You Okay? Join the show, 314-241-9797, if you want to give us a call. And you can stream us live right now at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
Yeah. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Scaramucci.
Who else we got?
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Truth over facts.
This is your versions of your Democratic field of people.
Randy Quaid.
Boot edge edge.
It's just, these people are so funny. I don't know. I think that if I were not able to do what it is that I do for a living, and I were following this, because I would absolutely be engrossed in the news every day because it interests me. That's how I got to this point.
Makes sense.
I don't know how I would handle it. Like, the seriousness of it all. Every day. All the time. Like, I feel like if you don't laugh about it, you'll cry about it. And the intensity of it on a regular basis, it's just, you have to take a deep breath and laugh about it.
Well, the thing is, once they, I think maybe it was the second or third time that the media's hair was on fire because of whatever Trump did during even just the campaign. I was like, okay, this isn't serious. This is a farce. I get it now. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. There's no possible way your outrage could be turned to 15 that many times over such actual nonsense. So, you know, it's a game. It's a game. And you, if you view it that way, you can laugh at it.
Yeah. You ever think? I know you don't, but now you're going to.
Uh-oh.
Do you ever think about, like, what, when you get home, and if you're like staying in for a Friday night, which, God, I hope I'm staying in tonight. I hope I have no plans.
I need it.
If you go home and you put on your comfy clothes to relax,
and you're done.
What does Donald Trump look like? What are his comfy clothes?
He sleeps in a suit.
In his blue suit with his red tie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, Donald Trump walking around in flannel pants and a t-shirt from 1972 with holes in the pits.
No. It's all silk. You know,
it's always been
it's
silk.
All silk with like gold trim,
gold flex,
with the DJT embroidered on the pocket.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Or like winning on the pocket.
And he wears the Scrooge McDuck hat.
I was gonna say, does he have the little night hat?
Not Scrooge McDuck.
He carries a lantern.
Does Scrooge McDuck wear too?
Yeah.
Are you thinking Uncle Scrooge from?
Here's a little lantern.
Yeah. Exactly.
A Christmas Carol.
Same.
Yeah, they're the same guy, aren't they?
And he carries a lantern through his mansion.
Yes.
Yeah.
On his way
through the White House.
With the lights on.
Michael Pompeo, is that you? What was that noise?
Chains rattling.
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Now I have an idea. So we're
going to
talk about this a little bit now because this is happening.
Melania.
So here's what we're going to do.
Melania, dear.
We are, Annie Fry Show is like the face of Christmas on the radio station. Mm-hmm. And that might not come as a surprise to you. Fa la 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 ya. So we do a Christmas special on Christmas Day. From what I understand, the last meeting we had, we're going to start at Christmas Eve at like 6. and run it all the way through the next day.
The Annie
Fry
Show just takes over the whole station for 24 hours.
It is a really hostile situation.
Nice.
But, so, we've got a lot of stuff that we already have 6 hours of content that we've put together previous years, but we're going to put together some new ones. Will you please, please, please write a Trump White House Christmas Carol? Please.
Oh my gosh.
Because
that
would be so absolutely amazing.
With dramatic reading and
yes, we can get voice actors. I mean,
let's make it a production.
I'm down. Let's do it.
This is exactly
that's when you do it.
What I want to have happen. And it needs to be funny for everybody because the way we
I just want it to be funny for some people. Just, okay.
For three people, which you were one of.
For me.
And your two children. Yeah. Two out of three Wiggins kids approved.
Just all extremely inside jokes to our family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we try to do with the Christmas show is, you know, if you listen to 97.1 every day, chances are what we as a whole, front to back on the radio station, talk about, you probably don't want to have that going on Christmas Day when you have family over.
Right.
But we don't want you to change the channel. So we put, I mean, we'll play music that the Annie Fry Show selects. There'll be Christian Christmas music. There'll be secular Christmas music. Maybe some different selections that you might not have heard as much on the other radio stations that play Christmas music. But we also have a lot of vignettes and stories and just like standard classic Christmas stories. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty cool production. So you can, and I think that we actually are like kind of clearing out the commercial breaks and stuff. So it's going to be like you turn us on your radio on Christmas Eve when we come on and you can leave us on and we will be taking care of you. Your friends and family that come over who may not be regular 97 listeners. I don't know why, but they will not be offended by it. So
you might hear some of your favorite Christmas songs.
And people from all over the station participate in it as well. So if you have any other ideas, you can tweet them at Radio Wiggins. Is that okay?
Yeah, at Radio Wiggins.
We can get your Trump.
What?
Might as well, Trump.
Your jump, Trump, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I need to start working on that. You need to write these.
You got to write some.
If you write it down, is that going to affect your ability to do it?
What does that mean? Like, I'm going to remember it better if that's what you're... Yeah.
Just wondering if you're an off-the-cuff guy, maybe.
I just received a text message from Tim Jones. Uh-huh. I'm listening to y'all as we're driving to... Where is he going?
Well, you can tell us.
Louisville, sorry.
Louisville.
I don't know why I couldn't read that.
You have to say it like this.
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville. It's almost just one sound. Louisville.
Making it an easier drive, except for Wiggins.
Yeah.
Tim, do me a favor. And when you show up in Louisville,
I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
Walk around telling everybody, hey, I love here in Louisville.
Louisville?
And just see what happens.
See where it goes.
That'd be great.
Lots of side eye, I think.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm a local.
The Trump Christmas Carol. I really like once that idea, like
yeah.
The image was there.
It's gonna be good.
And you kind of wrapped. I'm seeing Bernie and Chains talking about how bad it was to be a billionaire.
It's coming together.
He could talk about what it was like to be alive in the 1910s. No, that's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's older than Bernie, I think.
Michael Bloomberg's 77.
What?
That's youthful. No, 77?
No, that's right. 77 is right where Trump is. And
Trump is like 76, maybe? And 70? No.
Bernie? Bernie's the same.
I think Trump might be 74.
That's what how old is Donald Trump? 73 years old.
Yeah, I was thinking that because his birthday's on Flag Day, which is just like, obviously, right? When I'm going through Twitter and it's like, Flag Day, oh, happy birthday, Trump. I'm like, I bet that really gets under some people's skin.
Mm-hmm. I always get that image of him hugging
the flag. Yes.
Do you love that? Do you love him hugging the flag?
That image made me laugh.
I love that.
Because the thing is, whatever you say about the guy, I think he actually is a patriot. I think he does love America, you know, as a concept, as you know what it is. But, you know, because it's awesome, first of all, and he likes awesome things.
So. I just think it's the most Donald Trump thing to do, to walk into a room to like cheering and clapping, and the first thing he does is look at the flag
and
like,
hug it.
Oh,
I love America.
Here.
What he needs to do from now on is walk into every room and hug Kurt Suzuki.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. MAGA, look at this. I'm going to retweet this at Annie Fry Show. Look at this picture of Rachel Maddow holding up the anonymous script. You think she looks happy?
You think she is happy?
On a larger scale, in a bigger conversation. Speaking of RBF.
Yeah.
I need to ask you some questions, Gabe Pfeiffer.
Yes, you do. My wife mentioned that this may come up.
We were talking yesterday about RBF. If you don't know what RBF is, it's resting bee face, which means that when you are at a natural state and you're not reacting to something, you might be thinking about something or whatever. You're not
flexing any face muscles.
Yeah, actively reacting that you look like a bee word. And some people just appear that way, and it is in fact just their face. And I will add to that that if I ever wear less makeup to work, like especially if I don't wear eyeliner, people are like, Annie, you feeling okay?
I'm like, you look tired.
Yeah, it's just my face.
just me.
This is just really all I have to work with.
From what I hear, that is almost always the reaction for women who wear makeup regularly. You stop just even less, and it's always, are you sick?
Are you doing okay? You feeling okay? Yeah, I feel great. My face sucks.
Which is pretty horrible.
I won't ask you that in the future.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I'll just say, what is wrong with your face?
What's wrong with your face?
It's just the way God made me.
You look weird.
Yeah, when I was in college, I was a resident assistant. And so you live where you work.
Right.
And there were times where I was in my dorm and I didn't have makeup on. And every single time, be like, Annie, you look tired. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Great.
Why I wear makeup and I'm not wearing any right now. So does your wife have RBF?
She does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does she? And
she has this kind of like the corners of her mouth are kind of downturned just naturally. So when she's just sitting and she's looking, she looks slightly peeved at something.
You?
Slightly annoyed. It can look that way for sure. She has some tells, you know, that I've learned to identify, so I understand whether or not this is just her
for your safety
relaxing her relaxing her face basically, or if I'm in trouble. So
so Ryan was saying yesterday that his wife does have facial expression indicators.
She doesn't have RBF, but she has ABF.
Always.
No.
Oh.
Active. Not resting.
Yeah. Which we just call BF.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just BF right there.
That's when you know. Katie,
here it comes.
Are you subtle at all with David when you're mad? Is it like, Katie, is something wrong? Oh, you should know.
No. David knows pretty instantly when I'm wrong. When he's wrong, not when I'm wrong. I'm never wrong. So there's that.
There's that.
I don't know. I'm someone that kind of wears all of my emotions on my sleeve. When I'm upset, you all will know.
Your clothes at once.
that too. Right on. That's it. So if I'm upset, you'll know. If I'm angry, you would know.
Right.
And obviously, when I'm happy, you know it. So,
which is most of the time, at least most of the time I've seen you, which I'm glad.
What do you have to
have?
Get your act together over there, Ryan. What's wrong?
Are you making yourself laugh? Yes.
This is what he does. You see him. If you're sitting, we have an office back here, and Katie and Ryan and I share this office, and he'll be we're minding our own business, clipping sound, listening to the most important news of the day, you know, like John Kennedy.
Popeye's fried chicken is among the best fried chicken God ever put breath
in. And Ryan's just sitting over there at his desk, and all of a sudden, he just doubled over laughing. And it's like, you know that if you ask him what he's laughing at, by the time he's done explaining it, it's not nearly as funny as he thought. Whatever
but
went
it's always
in his, brain.
His material. Like he's laughing at
his
own material.
He's gone. He's not. He's got tears in his eyes. Facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. What are you thinking about?
He's just that good. Just
paint us a picture here.
Sometimes you just forget. You're just talking like you're just friends, but you forget that we're broadcasting to tens of thousands of people. They're all gone now. But when Katie started talking, she said something like, I wear my, and for whatever reason in my brain, I thought, man, the funniest thing she could say right now is, like, she's trying to make a point about her husband, and her point was, I wear all of my clothes at
one time.
And I'm just picturing, like, the kid from Christmas Story.
Oh, you seen that Friends?
Friends, yeah.
Joey and Friends, what is it? Why does
he dresses up as Chandler because Chandler won't move out of the recliner that Joey wants, so he puts on all of Chandler's clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's like, hey, look at me, I'm Chandler. Can I be wearing any more clothes? Exactly. And scene.
And scene.
Oh, Ryan, you're such a funny guy.
I don't know that I am, but I think I am.
No, you're funny. It's just like a different kind of funny.
Oh, thanks.
Today you are hysterical.
That's funny weird, not funny haha.
Yeah. Well, Tony Colombo is supposed to come in here and do an Annie, Are You Okay? But I can see him through the glass there. And
so maybe not.
He does not look like he's on his way in here.
Little busy.
I'm the kind of person who wears all of their clothes at the same time.
Well, if he doesn't come in here, we'll just make fun of Tony for the next segment. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Ryan, are you okay now? Are you back?
The question is, Annie, are you okay?
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Are you pale or what? Yeah.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
I'm mad that sounded like it might have been rehearsed.
No, we didn't rehearse that.
I know. I want everybody to know that was not as cheesy as it actually sounded.
But that was so good, and I'm... Yep. So let's do it.
Are you doing the Glover show? I'm gonna have to tune in if you are. There's not a lot of gas left in the tank.
We'll see.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Are you on Dave's show today too?
Maybe just a little bit. I'm not staying through Pyramid.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel the same way.
I've consolation. Did.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay.
No, I like you.
Okay, good.
I feel
like
that way about
too,
me.
I don't know if
I like
don't know
you
if
too, then.
Tony likes mm-hmm. you.
I don't know. It's a great. Let's find out if Tony likes to hug dudes.
I do like to hug
we
dudes.
We already know that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we
so forgive me if you guys already talked about this, but I want to talk about it.
That's what matters.
Have you heard about? Do you know about this James Dean situation?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'm familiar,
oh,
but we
minute.
Have not talked
yeah,
about
I
it.
I think okay. I heard vaguely heard it. I'm,
so
yeah, up.
There's a new movie. Coming out called Finding Jack. It is a Vietnam War action movie. The producer says that they searched high and low for the perfect lead actor in this movie. They did, you know, casting calls and all that, and we're looking for the perfect person to play the lead in this new movie, and they decided... After months of research, they want to cast James Dean, the actor who's been dead since 1955.
Excuse me, what?
He's been dead since 1955. He died at the age of 24. Everybody knows James Dean. But they are going to use full body CGI. That's in quotes, whatever that means. Full body CGI and archival footage to... Have James
they're
Dean.
They're just going
to
computer generate him.
They're going to computer generate James Dean to be the lead actor in this brand new Vietnam War action movie. Are you okay with using dead actors
I feel
as
like
the lead in new movies?
You would have to. I don't know how you would even get permission for that. Like, I wouldn't want.
The James, for what it's worth,
like
his estate has given permission.
So I mean,
why wouldn't you though?
That
because
matters.
You're gonna make money.
Sure, why not?
The computer. When you think about what takes place in movies and how much is actually not real, I think that we don't even know the half
have
of what.
You, have
is.
You seen the videos where they do a before and after VFX shots
Mm-mm.
where they show the scene side by side and say, okay, here's what you're seeing on the screen, like, you know, I don't know, the Queen of Dragons riding her,
mm-hmm.
her beast, right?
Yep.
And then
what?
Right.
Game of Thrones.
Well, you said Queen of Dragons riding the beast
Star
and pointed
Wars.
At Katie. I just
yeah,
didn't
Star
know.
Wars.
The guy who played Grandma Tarkin.
Grandma Tarkin, yeah, that's right.
Died. He played a big role
that's
in the
true.
First movies,
yep.
and they wanted to have that character in the most recent movies,
it's
and the actor was
mm-hmm.
was dead. So they just
CGI'd
him, and he was in the movie.
Yes, he was. And they, and of course,
and it wasn't old footage.
It was new footage,
new dialogue.
And it was a little weird
in the movie again.
It was a little weird.
And there was,
as in Rogue One. And then of course they de-aged Carrie Fisher. For that movie as well.
They had like 20-year-old Carrie Fisher.
I don't really like it. I don't like it either.
Like, from the human component, I don't really like it. But then again, I also feel like I'm not 100% sure that I am aware of the massive amount of CG stuff that we're seeing anyway.
True.
And
but at least there's still a human actor behind all that. Even like, even
that's alive.
Even Katie's beloved Groot, who's a tree, at least still behind.
He's a tree?
Even behind, like, the movements and everything is still Vin Diesel with all that motion capture stuff on. And the there's still a human behind all of it.
Right.
That has an influence on
the
performance. And there's art to it. I mean, not only can they, I guess, take an old actor like James Dean and just create a new movie, but what if they just, what if you're making a new movie and you need a, you want the lead person to be a 6'2", 190-pound man with blue eyes and brown hair and just create it from and then you want the lead female to be 5'5", blonde hair, blue eyes, just
isn't it digitally created and
not even have a real person behind it.
Unrealistic to think that that's not going to be happening in 10 years anyway.
Yeah, it's still we're more expensive.
The question is, are you okay with it?
Yeah.
Not is it happening?
The question
and
is.
I'm vehemently not okay with this.
It makes me furious. You okay, too weird.
I'm not okay with it either.
That was a lot of energy.
Yeah, I had to get it all out.
It's...
Thank you.
It's cuffing.
Yeah.
It's cuffing season. Are you okay with cuffing season?
Cuffing?
Do you even know?
Do I get to put Christmas decorations up for it?
It's cuffing season, which is a dating term.
Oh, Katie, what's
cuffing?
This mean?
Do you know what cuffing is?
Isn't that?
Are you serious? You know?
Yeah. Millennial vocabulary.
Look at you, Santa whore. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Let's see if she's right. What does cuffing mean?
A lot of pressure here.
Holding hands or putting your hand in someone's pocket, back pocket. Is that
you're
what that
so
is?
You're so old. You don't even know anymore.
What is it?
You don't even know what cuffing
is. You're fired from millennial vocabulary.
You don't even know.
Except for
none
of
it.
It's putting your foot in somebody's back pocket.
According to Match.com, it is cuffing season.
And my opinion is it's weird.
Cuffing season is when single people settle into temporary relationships for the holidays.
Oh.
So you have no intention of being long-term, but you don't want to go through the holiday season.
You need dates for
alone.
All the Christmas parties.
There's Christmas, exactly. There's family gatherings and
Christmas
parties.
Do you
parties.
Know between the two of you that this is what you're doing?
I think so. Definitely one, at least one of the people know. But according to Match.com, cuffing season has officially begun.
Cuffing.
What is that cuffing?
Now, where is the term come from?
I thought it was like holding hands.
Yeah,
kind of season?
Like you're cuffing yourself to someone.
Oh, cuffing.
For a short period of time, maybe.
Like handcuffs.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
So it's like a hostage situation. Yep.
At least the next generation is not empty and vapid.
I think that
you know what? Just because it has a name now doesn't mean it hasn't been done for generations.
For sure. Yeah.
They make movies about that.
My dating life would have been the opposite of that. Like, when it starts to get into the holidays, I'm like, I'm not comfortable taking this to the place where
they're coming to family
Christmas
gatherings.
Expectations or whatever. And I apologize to those boyfriends that.
Yeah, it's awkward having pictures on the wall of like past Christmases. And you're like, well, that person's no longer dating that guy.
I have a story about something like this happening.
Here we go.
I was taking a photo with a group of my friends at a gathering, and one of my best friends leaned over and said, I specifically placed this person's girlfriend, quote unquote, at the end of this picture because when they break up, we can just crop her out and we'll hang up this picture and we'll be all
here.
Of our friends and not her.
That's awesome.
And
great
I was like,
idea.
You're smart.
Strategic
Very smart.
Placement.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I say do whatever you want to do, but I don't know why you'd want to...
Cut him out and put James Dean in there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my computer-generated friend. You're okay, Annie.
So in Russia, they
at least
will,
that's what Ryan's going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
In Russia, they'll weaponize almost anything, and here's an example of that.
In Soviet Russia.
In Moscow this week, a guy was...
Can you do the story in a Russian accent?
No, not without getting complaints.
for me, for not doing a good enough job.
From the Russian.
He's an asset! He's a Russian asset! A guy was getting... the police were called on a guy who's got a last name that I'm not even going to attempt for causing a disturbance. When the police showed up, he weaponized his cat to... take to
do you even have to do that
to take on the police.
They're ready to go.
So this guy knew the police were coming because I guess the people who called the disturbance said we're calling the police and da, da, da. So he was sitting on the step outside his house when the police arrived, and when the police came up to question him about it, he grabbed a nearby cat.
Nearby cat.
Shook it.
What?
And threw it in the cop's face.
It's just ridiculous.
So rude.
Whatever they can get.
The cat latched on.
Can somebody give me a cat?
He weaponized the cat. The cat latched onto the officer's face and sunk its claws in. Shook the cat, threw it on the cop's face.
Poor cat.
I was picturing him what holding
am I
the cat.
What like am I a... supposed to answer here?
Are you okay with weaponizing cats?
Yeah, why the heck not? I don't like cats.
All right, I got a not news story.
Wait, shaking the cat is kind of like pulling the pin.
Yeah, right?
Extra! Waist grab, young fella! Extra, extra!
Oh, my God.
All right, I apologize, but this story is a few days old, so but I still feel like it's important enough to
let people know. Is it actually news now?
CNN has uncovered evidence that the hero dog sniffed dozens of butts back in college. You remember the dog that helped bring the ISIS Baghdadi
that
to
didn't
justice?
Get the Medal of Honor.
When everyone, the dog was in college?
Yeah, everyone praised the classified hero dog for taking down ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Everyone, that is, except CNN, who quickly searched the dog's internet history and college yearbooks. Sure enough, CNN found a picture of the hero dog partying at obedience school. In the picture, the dog is seen sniffing a butt without consent. One German shepherd who attended old Yaler obedience school with the hero dog said he was always sniffing. Anybody could find. Cats, dogs, humans, you name it. He didn't have a preference. He identified
as... non-discriminatory. That's good.
He identified as pan-sniffule.
Oh my God.
Troubling reports from classmates indicate that the dog sniffed all these butts without consent. The dog, hero dog, has issued a statement saying, I like butts. I've always liked butts. I still like butts. But I never sniff butts to the point of excess. Who's a good boy? I am. Democrats have called for the dog to be court-martialed and for the death of Baghdadi to be overturned.
Oh, man.
That's your latest and not news.
Sniffing butts. That's not news?
That's not news.
Yeah, because everybody already knew that.
That dog also wore blackface, you know.
Oh, boy.
Game 5 for everybody. St. John, philosopher on YouTube. Go follow him.
Pan-sniffule.
Tony, what's coming up on the Glover Show?
Pyramid today. Pyramid with Bo Matthews. And maybe Ryan?
I'll be around, but I don't know if I'll say
it. If allowed. He's been on fire today.
Hopefully
just like standing over there, just laughing to himself.
Yeah.
Comedy gold.
That's about right.
Taking place up in his head right there.
All the funny.
All right. Facebook.com/AndyFryShow. Go give us a like. We are getting close to 10,000 likes. Would you give us one if you haven't yet? Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.